Picture this. You're enjoying a nice vacation as an American in London, beautiful city, capital of Great Britain, having a great time. And suddenly a stranger comes up to you, starts talking to you, initiating a conversation, asks where you're from. He talks to you about, oh, you're from America. Love America. Tell me about where you're from. And before you know it, a bracelet is placed on your wrist. What happens next? Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome everyone to my White Collar Crime and Fraud podcast. As always, I'm your host, Gene Tausk. And once again, I hope everybody is having a good 2024. Today's podcast, we're going to talk about really interesting type of fraud scam. It affects mainly travelers, but I find it interesting because it plays, like pretty much all fraud, it plays on human psychology. And this is the friendship bracelet scam. It's mainly used against travelers. Well, travelers are mainly the victims. It appears quite a bit in Europe, especially Rome for some odd reason, but it can be found pretty much in every city in the world where you have international travelers. And so cities, certainly in America, like New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, many of the cities in Europe, such as London, Rome, as I mentioned, Prague, the Czech Republic, Paris, that sort of thing. And as I said, it plays off of a human psychology. It's kind of an old scam, but I find it very interesting. Anyway, here's how the friendship bracelet scam is carried out. Here's how it works. How this works is tourists, and especially if you're American, you sort of stand out as tourists. It really can't be avoided. Even if you speak the language fluently or know the customs, usually you can stand out. Anyway, It begins where you're walking along, or you're in a resort, or you're on a beach somewhere in one of these cities, and someone comes up to you and starts talking to you and is very friendly. Usually has, ask you, where are you from? Hey, you look like you're an American. Hey, you look like you're from the UK. Hey, you look like you're from Italy, what have you. And in my case, if somebody had come up to me and asked me that question, of course, I'd say, well, I'm American. Oh, America, America. I love America. Land of the free, home of the brave, stuff like that. And they would go on and question even further. So where are you from in America? And of course, I would say Houston, Texas. And of course, I'd probably get the stereotypical, oh, it's Texas Cowboys and Indians, or else they're a little more up to date. Oh, the Dallas Cowboys. I love the Dallas Cowboys, or Houston Rockets, something like that. Houston Astros. Anyway, they would talk to you and talk you up about the city you're from and the country you're from and engage in conversation. And the way the scam works is this normally goes along for about 5, maybe 10 minutes where you're talking. You don't really think too much about it. You're just talking. If you're on guard, like some people are, you may want to watch your wallet and think, well, what's going on here? But it may just seem like friendly locals or friendly other tourists are coming up to you and asking you questions. And the whole point behind this, of course, is to lay your guard just a little bit. And at some point, as you're talking, this person will give you a bracelet, usually a really cheap bracelet, but a bracelet they put on you and say, here you go. And okay, what is this doing on me? And if you try to give it back at that point, the scammer will usually say, no, it's a gift. It's, I just want to thank you for being here. And you take it and you think that's the end of it. Now here's where the scam begins. At this point, the scammer begins their story, usually a sob story about, well, you're from America, I'm here, I'm done have a lot of money, and I have a problem. And the problem can be anything. Mom's sick, girlfriend's sick, kid is sick, wife is sick. they're out of money. They need money to get back home. They need something, anything. You're a rich tourist. You're from America. Maybe you can help out. Anything, anything will help me out. Please, can you help me out? And this usually asks in just a form of a tip where they think, well, or the guiding principle here is, please just help me out. Now here's where it starts to play off human psychology. They have just given you something as a gift, and you didn't want it, of course, but it was given to you. And the scammer knows this. And so the scammer tries to pull at your emotions by saying, you know, please, just anything. I need something to just help me out. Please, please, please. And it goes on and on. Now, there are many ways. There's some ways in which people at this point will react. Sometimes the easiest thing to do is just walk away. And the scammer will follow you, just will not let you alone with, oh, look, please, can you help me out? Please, 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 please. And they will not leave you alone. So this person is following you. You're trying to get away from them, and they're following you. And if you continue just to try and get away from them, well, at this point, it may become a little bit hostile where they start to shout out, you know, I gave this person a present, and I just wanted something in return. This evil American, this rich, stupid American is taking something from me and won't give me anything, just like Americans, just like Americans. Or insert the nationality of your choice here, just like British, just like French, just like Italians, just like Russians. They take and they take and they take and won't give anything. I just need a little bit and this person won't help me out. And if you continue walking away, sometimes it gets very, very, not violent. I've never really heard of violence being a part of the scam, but just very annoying. And at some point, the person just gives the person some money, $5, something like that, and the person goes away. And the bracelet, of course, it goes without saying, is worth at most maybe 25 cents. So the friendship bracelet scam. It's really more of a harassing scam than anything else. I mean, obviously the person, you're not losing a whole lot of money in this, but it's still annoying. It's still frustrating. And there's a variation of the scam that sort of happened. It did happen to me in New York several years ago, which just goes to show, even if you're an quote expert unquote in fraud, like I am, it can still affect you. And what happened here is I was in New York with my family. And my wife was off checking out something in Times Square. We were in Times Square. I was with my son and my daughter. They were younger then. And these guys came up dressed as superheroes and said, take our picture with your kids. So I didn't think about it. I had my phone, took my picture with the kids. And then, of course, they want money. And I said, fine, I give them a couple bucks. And they said, well, that's just for one of us. There are four of us here. I said, split it. And of course, this is where it begins. They won't leave you alone. And I admit, just to get them off my back, I gave them more money and they left. But it's a variation of the friendship bracelet scam. In this case, it's a scam involving dressing up as superheroes, getting their picture taken, and getting money from me. So how does this work? Well, it goes without saying, of course, that the basic underlying basis of this fraud, first of all, is surprise. And keep in mind the general psychological work of a fraudster, even a low-level fraudster like this, the bracelet scammers, but even a low-level fraudster like this, the way it works is they're catching you off guard, first of all, by initiating conversation. Now, most of us, when we travel anyway, we tend to have our guard up anyway, but if somebody's just approaching you and asks you just, hey, where are you from? A lot of times we'll answer. And of course, this leads to the conversation. So step one of this fraud, if you want to call it that, is where you're initiated into this conversation. And it's a very pleasant conversation. You know, where are you from? America. Oh, America. I love America. America's a big country. What part of America? I'm from Texas. Texas. You know, and they start talking about Texas. And if you're away in a foreign country, you're a little bit homesick, sometimes anyway. And they take advantage of this by talking to you about your home and telling you how much they love America and how much they want to go there one day and how much they've seen of it on TV and how much they love the sports team, insert sports team here, Dallas Cowboys, Houston Rockets, Houston Astros, what have you. And as you're in this conversation, it's just a natural human reaction. And once again, scammers take advantage of our natural reactions, especially our natural reactions to want to interact with people. And suddenly you get this bracelet on your hand, on your arm, excuse me. And it may not seem like much. It's not much, but this is just a token of friendship from some local or from somebody who's traveling around. And what's wrong with this? But interestingly enough, this is where the second part of the scam begins. And that's where there is this gift given, so which it creates psychologically an impulse for you to want to return the favor for something. Now, the way the scammer works, don't forget, they're not charging you for this bracelet. They're not saying, okay, you want this bracelet, $2. Because if they did that, most likely most of us would say, no, I don't want it. I don't want this bracelet. Thank you. Goodbye. But that's not how the scammer works. The scammer is placing it on you, usually very quickly. Don't forget, these people, scammers have been doing this for quite some time. They are very, very good at this. It's almost like pickpocketing. And they place this on you, and suddenly this bond, very, very, very informal bond, but this bond is created where you have this expectation that they gave you something. Well, maybe now you should give them something. But remember, it's not framed in that way. If it was framed in that way where I will sell you this bracelet, most of us would say, no, I don't want it. Most of us don't need a cheap bracelet, especially one that's probably going to be overpriced anyway. But that's not how it works. Remember, immediately when this gift is given to you, and keep in mind what's important is the gift is not just given to you, it's put on your body. It's placed on your body so you can't really get it off. It's not something you may want to accept, but it's there anyway. So immediately you have this bond where you think, even subconsciously, that some kind of reciprocity is needed. So that's when the second phase, we've talked about the second phase where the bond is created. Now we move on to the third phase where the favor is asked. Hey, you know, while you're here, I've got this problem. You know, my girlfriend's pregnant. My son is sick. My daughter's sick. My wife is sick. Could you just help me out? All I need is a tip, just a little tip. You know, just remember, you'll have this bracelet to always remind you of your time here in, once again, in Paris, in London, in Rome, in Vienna, in Stockholm, in Helsinki, in Prague, wherever. You have this little bracelet to remind you of your time here. What a great time. And all I'm asking for is a small tip. Now, interestingly enough, I don't know how this would play out, but let's say you would just give this person a very, very, very small tip, like 5 cents. That wouldn't cut it. I sometimes wonder how it would play out if that happened. But anyway, they want a tip, and usually that tip is $5, $10, okay? Something along those lines, if not more. If you're in an expensive city like Vienna or London, probably would be something more like maybe 20 pounds or something like that. Anyway, so now the sob story begins. This next phase begins where they're saying, please, can you help me out? I just need a tip. And they don't phrase it as reciprocity. Remember, they're not phrasing it as you should pay me for this bracelet because, of course, they know you didn't ask for this bracelet. You didn't ask to get this bracelet. And you certainly didn't ask to buy this bracelet. You didn't select it. It was given to you. And they know if they phrase it in terms of, will you pay me for it? The answer, of course, 99 times out of 100 will be no. After all, nobody likes to be taken advantage of, and very few people would be willing to pay $20 for a bracelet that may be worth at most 50 cents. So the sob story. And then once that begins, if you give them money, you say, okay, fine, here you go, 10 bucks, 5 bucks, whatever. Usually it ends there and you're done. But the scammer has achieved his goal. The scammer has achieved his goal. He has gotten money from you for something that you didn't want in the first place. Once again, what is fraud? Fraud is the use of deception to get money from a person. And this is what is doing. This is what is happening with this type of fraud. They're using deception to get money from you. Because once again, let's back up and look at this from the very beginning. You do not want that bracelet. You're being forced into a situation where you accept this bracelet, even in an offhand way, and now something is expected of you. And the fraudster is playing on this basic understanding of psychology to get money from you. So let's say, however, you just don't want it. You try to give it back to the person. The person doesn't want it, of course, and you just leave. Well, now the next phase begins, following you around, berating you, calling attention to you in an area where you're unfamiliar with anyway. I mean, if you're a visitor to a foreign city, if you're a visitor there, then obviously you, the city, stick out number one, but you're there for a specific purpose, which is to have fun or to, you know, have a vacation. And now attention, unwanted attention, is being drawn to you from this other party, the scammer, who you don't want. You don't want this attention, but they're following you around. Now, of course, the scammer is playing on another basic part of human psychology, which is you want to be left alone at this point. This whole interaction is not taking very long, 10, maybe 15 minutes at most. But you just want to be left alone at this point. So now the scammer is focusing on the next part of the scam, which is how much will it cost to leave you alone? You've gotten past the first part of the psychology of the scam in that you're not giving a tip despite the person's sob story. However, the scammer is now betting on that you just want to be left alone, so you'll give him some money just to leave you alone. And remember this, for the scammer, these bracelets are incredibly cheap. Even if you give them a dollar, which they would consider very low, by the way, they're still making a profit. But the scammer will not leave you alone. And finally, they take the position that you might take the position that, well, enough is enough here. Here's $5, go away. And once again, the scammer comes out on top. The scammer is using his skills to separate you from your money. And after all, I mean, you psychologically you might think, well, hell, it's only $5. It's only $10. If you go to most pubs in London, a drink alone will probably cost you £10. So what's $5 just to get them off your back? And like, once again, that's what the scammer is betting on. And finally, if you just keep on walking, at some point, they'll just may just start yelling at you and cursing at you. And then they know the scam is over and leave you alone. Or if you start walking up to a cop or something like that, the scammer will leave you alone. And by the way, it goes without saying, of course, these scammers know where the police hang out, and they're going to be as far away from them as they possibly can be. And surprisingly, in many instances, this scam works. And for a scammer, if they do this, they're successful on 2 people per hour, get $5 per person over a 6-hour period of time. Well, for them, that might be quite a bit of money. And as I said, in the terms of fraud and white-collar crime, this is really not a huge deal. This is not Enron. This is not, you know, WorldCom or anything like that. This is simply a basic scam. But it does annoy you. It doesn't interrupt your vacation. And once again, certainly for most people, including myself, who, as I said, was the victim of this type of scam, you feel kind of bad about it afterwards, where you think to yourself, how the hell did I get myself suckered into this? How did this happen to me? And it may not destroy your entire vacation, but it certainly bums you out, if not for a little while anyway. So we've talked about the scam. How do we avoid the scam? Is it possible to avoid the scam? Well, of course it's possible to avoid the scam. Once again, going back to the definition of white-collar crime and fraud, using deception to take money from you. If you cannot be deceived, if you can avoid being deceived, then you can avoid being a victim of a scam. So what is the first way to simply get out of this? Well, the easiest way, of course, is just to avoid the scammer. Just try to get away from him. Now, this is, look, for many people, this is a lot harder than it seems. We don't want to be rude. It's not, many people, including myself, we don't want to be rude. We don't want to be ungrateful. And if somebody starts talking to you, naturally our response is maybe we want to talk back. We're going to have some kind of interaction with them. But to avoid this kind of scam, the first and best line of defense is simply to say, I'm not interested, go away. I'm not interested, go away, leave, go away, and walk away. Now, most times that will work and the scam is over. And of course, that may be difficult. Most of us don't want to do it, but that's the easiest way to go about doing that. That's the easiest way. And for the scammer, if you put up enough of these psychological barriers, if you put up enough of these walls, they're not going to bother you, because why are they going to waste time going after you? Why are they going to waste time going after you if there's plenty more people to be scammed? Don't forget, they've got to do at least 10 or 12 of these scams a day to make money. It turns out, it seems after the first couple of minutes, they're not going to get anything from you. They'll walk away. Well, that's the easiest way to do it. Now, what about if your scam has already progressed and the bracelet is on you? The bracelet is already on you. Well, then we have to go to the second level of avoiding this, which is take the bracelet off. And once again, for many of us, this is something we don't want to do. We don't want to appear rude. We don't want to appear ungrateful. After all, this friendly person just put it on us. But think of it this way. Once again, you didn't ask for that bracelet. You certainly weren't going to buy it. And the fact that it was a gift, quote in quotes, of course, to you, makes no difference. I was always taught that you don't take something you don't want anyway. So the best thing to do, just take it off and throw it to the ground. Or, since of all these bracelets, remember, these are really, really cheap bracelets. They have to be tied on. Just get it off you before it's tied on and walk away. Now, of course, that will produce some kind of reaction from the scammer as well, saying, what's your problem? What's wrong with you? I'm trying to be friendly. What kind of typical American walks away? Typical Brit walks away? Typical French person walks away? Unfriendly people, unfriendly bastards. But once again, they're playing on the psychological reactions they know about, and they figure that this will help them get their money. But once again, they don't have time to waste with you. If you're not going to play along with their game and you're not going to accept this bracelet, and after even 2 or 3 minutes, it's apparent you're not going to accept this bracelet, they'll just move on. They don't have time to waste with you. And this is one of the few times where fraudsters and white-collar criminals really are at a disadvantage, because they don't have time to waste with you. They really don't. The only way the scam works is if it works over and over and over again on a number of days for the scammer to make any money. Just doing it once on a person per day is not going to be very productive. Doing it 10 or 12 or even 15 times, that's where the money is. So after a while, they're just a very short amount of time, they'll just be tired of it and walk away as well. So that's something to consider. The third way, of course, is most of us really don't like to do this, but sometimes this is the only way to do it, and that's to start yelling yourself and calling for the cops. Hopefully, whenever you travel to a foreign country, you should know enough of the language to call the cops. And that's just basic advice. Any person who travels a lot will tell you that, even if it's a language you're completely unfamiliar with, like Mandarin Chinese or Finnish, you should know enough of the language to call the cops. And once you start doing that, once you start yelling, I certainly believe the person will back up, off, because they know what they're doing is illegal, and they know the cops are going to take your side. They're going to take the side of the tourist. They're not going to take the side of the scammer. They know what's going on. So that's the easiest way to, well, not the easiest, but certainly it's the best way to get them off if at that point the bracelet is already on you and you want to get away. So the friendship bracelet scam. As I said, this is not some major scam that will shake nations or cause businesses to fail or cause personal bankruptcies, but it is annoying, extremely annoying. It can also, as I said, cost you money you don't intend to spend. If you're there on a budget and you blow $20, well, that's $20 you don't have to spend on something else now, is it? So it can be annoying and it can be, in its own way, expensive. I want to talk for a few minutes, just as I said, about the psychology of this. And I say this a lot on all my podcasts, but once again, it's worth repeating. Scammers, fraudsters, white-collar criminals, the way they work is they have an understanding of how human psychology works. It doesn't mean they studied it. That doesn't mean they're PhDs in psychology or sociology or what have you. But for them to perform their trade, they have to have an understanding of how human beings react. And they can either, a lot of times, scammers and white-collar criminals, fraudsters will do this because they've learned how to do it over time. We've talked about con men and how they work. But this is in a way these fraudsters work, where they're taking advantage and relying on basic human psychology. Don't forget, they're a fraudster, the white-collar criminal in this case, the scammer, the friendship bracelet scammer, is trying to base his scam on the idea that the person is friendly, the person will give up some money because it's not a lot, and the person wants to be on their way. They know that if they push the issue, they will get caught. They also know that if they try and sell you this friendship bracelet, you will never buy it, not in a million years. Well, most people won't buy it either. Anyway, however, they also know that if it's given to you, this opens the kind of psychological pressure, and it is psychological pressure that we've been talking about for the past 20 minutes, that you will be expected, or at the very least, you're pre-programmed to act in such a way where you will end up giving the money, and that's what they're counting on. So even low-level scammers in many ways are just the same as the same type of scammers like Bernie Madoff or the Enron scammers. They take advantage of human behavior. Remember one thing we talked about with Bernie Madoff. One of the things he did was he couched his scam in such a way where people wanted to get into this. They were begging to become part of his investment fund. And Bernie's had this great way of handling it. He said, well, I'm full up right now. I really can't take another investor. You know, come back and see me in 6 months. And that, of course, creates for many people the desire to really, now even more, they want to become a part of this investment fund. And Bernie will not allow it. And finally, after maybe 3 or 4 times, Bernie will break down and say, okay, look, talk to me on Monday. We'll see what we can do. And by the time you have this meeting with Bernie, you are begging to get into this investment fund. And of course, that's how it worked. And that's how billions of dollars were taken from people. Well, in this case, the friendship bracelet scammers are doing the exact same thing. They're using their knowledge of human psychology, even if they don't realize it themselves, they're using their knowledge of human psychology to take advantage of the fact that for many people, if you give them something, they will expect to give you something in return. And even if they don't, at some point, they'll just want to be left alone and they will leave. And that price for leaving is giving you some money. My own story in New York in Times Square. I knew better. I certainly knew better, but I was tired. My kids were happy. They had their picture taken with superheroes. I wanted to move on. And I was kicking myself later, of course, even though, you know, it wasn't that much money, but I was the victim of the scam. And yeah, here I am, the fraud guy. And I fell for it as well. So human psychology being what it is, scammers will take advantage of it, even for something like this. So as always, the best advice I can give, especially when you're on a vacation, and especially when you're on vacation in a foreign country, and especially when you're on vacation in a foreign country and you don't speak the language, keep your eyes open and your ears open and look around you. Sad to say, but in our world, you always have to be on your guard. Even when you're trying to get a break and just have a relaxing time with your family or your friends or yourself on a vacation. Anyway, hope everybody enjoyed this, and I will see you in a couple weeks. Take care.